Earlier this year, we spoke with University of Michigan law professor Bridget Carr. She serves on the state task force whose human trafficking report helped to guide state lawmakers as they drew up a new, tougher package of laws, laws that take aim on human trafficking and the sex trade. When we spoke last, Carr said there's still a lot of heavy lifting to make our approach to combating human trafficking in Michigan something truly victim-centered.
It's all around us, and it's hard because this is a crime that for it to happen, we have to all look the other way.
One place where this is happening is the Human Trafficking Specialty Court in Washtenaw County. It's the first of its kind in Michigan, and Elizabeth Campbell is with the Human Trafficking Clinic at the University of Michigan Law School. She helped lead the development of this specialty court. Good to have you with us, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we're very pleased to welcome Judge Charles Pope of Ypsilanti's 14B District Court. He oversees the Human Trafficking Court, the HTC. Judge Pope, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much for asking.
The goal is?
The goal is to change the way that the criminal legal system responds to human trafficking in a few different ways. One is to say that we should be looking at people who are arrested for prostitution or related crimes and doing a thorough assessment for the potential of severe trafficking. And then to respond to it in a different way by offering services that is related to the trauma that maybe brought them to commercial sex, and to ensure that police officers, the local criminal justice system, understand what human trafficking is and treat the people who have experienced it accordingly.
How does this specialty court operate within the criminal justice system?
So the clientele that we receive come from my own jurisdiction, Ypsilanti Township. We receive referrals from other judges in Washtenaw County. And we began the human trafficking court and became operational in March of 2014.
And how many cases have you been through since then?
We have about 10 active participants right now, and I believe I've got two absconders right now.
I get the sense, Judge Pope, the idea is to get them help and also to keep them from reoffending.
That's exactly correct. Most of the time, 100% of them suffer from substance abuse issues. Many suffer from mental health issues. Many suffer from what I'll call relationship issues, housing issues, child and child care issues, employment issues, and 100% of them with severe trauma issues. So it's a difficult population just because their plate is so full. Traditionally, courts, especially over the last decade or so, we've become pretty adept at dealing with substance abuse issues, but that only addresses one of the many issues that our participants encounter. And the idea is to provide as great a depth and wide variety of services as we can. For example, when we take a participant in, they're typically sentenced to 2 years probation, mm-hmm. which is the longest we can sentence somebody on probation for a misdemeanor in Michigan. Within 7 days, they'll be assessed by our substance abuse provider and immediately enter into whatever recommended treatment results. Sometimes it's residential treatment, sometimes it's transitional housing, sometimes it's outpatient. You know, we thought in discussing it with Elizabeth and others that one of the issues we wanted to what's the carrot here for this group? What is it we can offer them that would really inspire them to comply and to be successful? And we kind of, I guess because we're attorneys, we kind of thought it may have something to do with the promise of a dismissal of charges in the future. Turned out that wasn't it at all.
What was it?
Direct access to services.
Help me.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying, isn't it?
As well as a community of people who've had similar experiences that they can – there's such a stigma attached to prostitution and commercial sex. And to be able to sit side by side regularly with other people who have had similar experiences, who have the same obstacles in overcoming those experiences. So both the sort of help of services, but the help of there are people out there who've had the same experiences and who understand what I'm going through. Those, I think, are the two things that have really driven the level of success that we've had with the court.
What helps you determine that someone is indeed a victim of human trafficking?
Well, so there's a couple of different signs, and most are based on exploitation. It involves a person who was compelled to engage in activity that they didn't want to engage in. And under the law, federal law in particular, compulsion is sort of broadly defined, right? It can be legal coercion, financial coercion, emotional coercion, and obviously physical coercion. I think what most people don't understand about assessing for human trafficking is that it's not a snapshot moment. It is a process. And so we do assess initially within the court for human trafficking, but we will not make a final decision based on that initial assessment. it will be a process. And I say that because it requires such a level of trust to have an individual disclose that they have been exploited in that way. They may not be safe to say initially what they are experiencing in the moment or have experienced in the past. And so you can see strong signs of trafficking, right, that may involve sort of suspicious people in their lives and inability to make certain individual choices. And we'll say at that moment, we're going to keep this assessment open. And as the relationship between the participant and the court, whether it be Judge Pope or the court coordinator or ourselves, we can learn more about that individual. And what we thought was the case at the beginning may not be the case 3 months in, 6 months in, 9 months in. And what's so important about the court is that it allows for that level of relationship between the participant and the system.
There's a flexibility that didn't otherwise exist.
That's very true. We have a case manager who ultimately is responsible for the supervision of the clientele. We have a couple of peer supports. And their job is to really do the nitty-gritty and put the wheels to the road, so to speak. And by that I mean if a client needs a way to get to a 12-step meeting, they'll pick them up and they'll take them. If they need a ride to court, they'll do that.
Who are these folks? Who are these peer support people?
Well, the peer support people are people who are themselves in recovery.
Okay.
And have volunteered and actually gone through training and have been certified recently.
Correct, by the state of Michigan.
By the state of Michigan as a peer support specialist. So it's wonderful to have. And it's not all been rosy. It's been a roller coaster. It's been up and down over our first year in operation. But one other thing I wanted to mention that we've noticed over the first 12 months of operation is that probably because our group has remained relatively small, we've had about, like I said, we've got about 10 participants. They've bonded as a group, and we find that they tend to support each other. And that's a nice thing to say.
It has to, for both of you who care about these victims, really affirm what you've believed all along and also probably fire up to get this spread elsewhere. Is this a model that could work in any county in Michigan, Elizabeth?
That's part of the sort of set of long-term goals. I think in year one, we're still working through our kinks, but I definitely think that we're all looking to a space where counties around the state could say, you know, let's identify a viable set of services within the county, let's identify a viable funding source. And with those two pieces, you can easily develop a court of this kind. It's certainly, I mean, commercial sex exists in every community in the state. Exploitation exists in every community in the state. And so certainly where there is a will, there could easily be a similar way in every single county.
For both of you, and I'll start with you, Elizabeth, do you believe that society in Michigan, people in Michigan, are willing to throw out those old stereotypes and old beliefs and stop thinking of these people as criminals and truly see them as you do, as victims?
I certainly think that the state of Michigan is moving in that direction. It's interesting. As a part of the initial grant, I did a ton of trainings with local law enforcement. And after every single training, a local law enforcement agent would come up to me and say, I was working with an individual who was engaged in commercial sex. I recognized their vulnerability. I recognized their victimization. I didn't have a phrase for it. I didn't have a system for it. And so they're excited to learn about the human trafficking court as an alternative to the sort of typical place. I think for the general public, we still have a lot to do to help them to understand that commercial sex is not does frequently not involve sort of two consenting adults, or the idea that it's a victimless crime and that no one is being hurt by it. I think, though, that once you start to expose the real lives of some of the individuals who've been engaged in commercial sex and what brought them to it, people do start to open their eyes to the concept that if there is a vulnerable party in the sort of buying and selling of sex, it is likely the person who's being sold for sex that's the vulnerable party, and not the person that's purchasing sex that's the vulnerable party.
What do you think, Judge?
To me, it's not too dissimilar from the way we were back in the late 80s with domestic violence. The attitudes are kind of similar to me. And again, Washtenaw County was a leader when it came to domestic violence case processing. We established a system of case processing back in the day. And then during the 90s, virtually every single thing we were doing became state law. And now domestic violence is something that's, I think, recognized generally by the public as something that's ever-present, is wrong, involves the power and control issues that we've all learned about through our experiences. And I think the same thing's going to happen with the human trafficking issue eventually. It's getting a lot of attention. We're here today, which is a good sign. Mm-hmm. But it's getting a lot of attention statewide and even nationally speaking. So it'll take some time. But I kind of see an analogy with the domestic violence process when it comes to this.
And the work continues, doesn't it?
Yes.
Elizabeth Campbell helped develop this specialty court. She's with the Human Trafficking Clinic at the University of Michigan Law School. And Judge Charles Pope oversees the Washtenaw County Human Trafficking Court. He's with Ypsilanti's 14B District Court. Thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking.
Thank you so much.